Look at those smiles. This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Jazz for kingdomofthejazz.com. Today is Tuesday, the 8th of March, 2022. I'm David McJimsey. As you can see, I'm no Paddy Smith. He's not here. He's left us holding the reins. This could be a bit of a car crash podcast, but we'll try our very best. Mander, am I right? Big Kitchy. Simon, how's it going, mate?
Hello, David.
Down below there, Joel Fresh from a half-time's entertainment at Inver Park. How's it going, bro?
Yeah, feeling a wee bit warmer now, David. Nice to see you again. And hopefully I won't see you again for take three. We're doing well, boys. Let's go.
Here we go. But let's start, as we always do, with looking at the games from weekend past. Hopefully, the old AirPods out there, but hopefully this is up. Belfast Giants with a 6-2 win at home to the Guildford Flames. Goals from David Goodwin, Lewis Hook, Mark Garside with his first of the season, which I'm sure we'll come on to talk about, Ben Nicks, Slater Doggett, and Scott Conway rounding it out in the 56th minute. Tyler Beskarwani in goals for the Belfast Giants. Simon, I'll try and get the goals up here while you talk about the first game. What's your thoughts on it?
To be honest, it was domination. We played really, really well on Friday night. You know, there's some good movement. There were some good goals. There was, you know, it was some, you know, really important moments for the milestones in Northern Ireland ice hockey as well. And it was just great to get off to a good start. And for Mark Garside, night itself, you know, a goal and assist and just a fight short of a Gordie Howe hat trick. And, you know, coming out with a man of the match, just wound back the ears. He was absolutely brilliant on Friday night. And obviously with the first point, first assist of the evening itself, he picked up 8th place overall, taking over Tim Coleman from the Cardiff Devils now on the all-time points leaders of the Stanley and Belfast Giants. And that's just, you know, it's just a phenomenal record. It's, you know, he's been here now 11 years, getting to 12, and obviously playing a forward, dropping back, playing D now. And, you know, it's going to extend his longevity as a player here in the Belfast Giants. There's no doubt about that. But again, with regards to the game itself, just we just controlled it, David. You know, we're 5-0 up and they get a power play, which, again, you know, some of those were the power play goals and power play chances that you just sort of try to keep them out of the way. But you don't want them getting any momentum getting into the next night. We sort of give them that little bit of momentum because they got two goals in the third period. But, again, for me, I just thought we played really, really well. We controlled the game. Adam, with regards to ice time for all four lines, he just sort of run the four lines all night as much as he could. And with not many penalties, that he did a great job. I think everybody got over 10 minutes of ice time, even with those four lines. So, yeah, steady performance. Great result to get the weekend off to a good start, because there was a little bit of anxiousness around the arena on Friday night. You know, coming in there, if you knew if you're going to win the game, there's a strong chance you're going to go top until we find out that they changed the rules nearly big. you know, everybody thought that was going to be top of the table. But look, at the end of the day, it's a great result, great performance, and set us up well for the weekend.
Joel, Andrew Dixon on commentary with Simon at the weekend clocked Lindiskag very early as being a wee bit reboundy. And the boys getting around him, chased him fairly early in the game. The first, second goalie in a few weeks to be chased out of the Odyssey.
No, certainly. Fantastic. And once again, we'll go back to Dicko being fantastic on commentary. I had the privilege of tuning into the show on Friday night and really, really enjoyed it. Great to hear Dicko. But you're right, Davey. And not only that, but six different scorers is fantastic. We've talked on the show in recent weeks about how we're obviously extremely privileged to have that top line and to have Goody and Conway and Pick doing what they do. But to have six different scorers up and down that line throughout the night is just a little indication that we maybe don't have to rely on them just quite as hard, and scoring can come up and down the lines. Mark Garside's goal from an impossible angle was lovely to see. He's been probably more of an unsung hero this season as in previous years. He's maybe not cropping up with the points and the goals, but he's still doing all that hard work that you only really notice whenever it's not there or whenever it goes wrong. So really, really lovely for Gary to get that moment and that kind of mile marker landmark moment as well. And the other thing is Cam Knight took a hooking call just before the half hour mark. And once again, I'm going to keep banging this drum, but Sam Ryup had two breakaways on that penalty kill. And I think he came close on both of them. So not only the kill providing offensive opportunities yet again, but also I think Sam Ryup continuing to grow into his role in the Belfast Giants and continuing to contribute. I think Rupper's grown and grown as a player over the kind of last month or two.
Says anything else to add on Friday night's game before we move on?
No, I think Joel's pretty much covered it there. As I say, it was just a, you know, Lynch could get pulled. Hughes came in for his first action for the Guildford Flames. Thought he did okay, actually. You know, we're 4-0 up. We went 5-0 up at one point. But, you know, we didn't seem in any danger of losing the game. It was all about, the game management. Three games in three nights. Get the first one out of the way. And Adam did a great job on the bench, as I say, with regards to timing and obviously giving the guys the chance and breath to play on for Saturday night on Sunday.
Let's see if we can move on. Let's see if we can do this and add in Saturday's game. Then we obviously moved on in the SSE and the Odyssey again on Saturday night. The 5-1 win for your Belfast Giants. Goals from JJ Pickens, Ben Lake, Mark Cooper, Ben Lake, and Tyler Soy with a lovely cove from the feed from Jordan Boucher on the breakaway. Jackson Whistle, and that's this time for the Belfast Giants. And as Simon has said already, Hughes coming in the night before got the start for the Guildford Flames. And Joel, we continued pretty much where we left off on the Friday night.
To be honest, this felt like had a bit of an air about some of those kind of earlier Giants games years ago, whenever we were really just coasting. I don't feel like we were particularly threatened at all. We seemed to dominate. The shot count was a little topsy-turvy in the arena. It had Guildford putting more saves on Wiss than us putting on Hughes. It was that started Saturday, was it? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, super strong, especially first period. You were 3-0 up and coasting early in the second period. We got a little penalty heavy again in that second period, but even with that, even with having to eat those minutes, we really didn't seem that badly threatened, and then closed it out with another two in the third. This is as bread and butter a comfortable Giants win as I've seen all season. I really just didn't feel at any point like we were being troubled.
Simon?
I thought that, I feel a wee bit differently what Joel was saying there. I thought that Guildford actually played a little bit better on Saturday night. I thought they didn't give up as many odd man rushes, which the week on Friday night they were horrendous. The first, I even listened to their Paul Dixon after the game, and he just said they were absolutely crap on Friday night. That's basically what he said, you know, without getting into massive detail. He was not happy with their display on Friday evening. But, you know, again, we just did what we needed to do, Davey. It's, you know, some really good performances again on Friday and Saturday. Just watching this goal from Boucher. What a pass right on the tape for Soisy to tap home. And you know, and there was a couple of other opportunities during the night itself. That, as I say, Darcy was getting regular ice time. Great for JJ to get his 32nd of the season, I think it is. You know, a power play goal. You know, they only got one power play goal. 5-on-5 at the minute. We're just really good, and hopefully that continues moving forward. That the second line on Saturday night seemed to take that step forward. Pretty sure wasn't it Ben Lake got 2+1. Dogs got a couple of assists, maybe three. Coop's got a goal and assist, and you know that line sort of led the way on Saturday night. And then again, you know, not to let the first line be outdone. They obviously got the first goal in the night, so great to see. As I say, that the boys are feeling good. They're, you know, great to play. I thought Jackson Whistle was great on Saturday night. I really thought it was a strong game. And again, you know, two games and two nights at the SSE Arena in front of, I think it was close to 8,500 fans over the weekend. So there's not really anything bad to come out of the weekend, Paddy, or Davey, sorry. Paddy.
Close. That's a compliment.
Yeah, solid performance. And again, Adam, I know Adam was very happy with the way the game management went as well. We just controlled the game.
David, if you look at that...
Sorry, go ahead.
There's no view from the bridge without a bit of analysis from your good self, David. It just doesn't feel right. If you look at that the two-game series at home before we went away to Guildford, obviously the Friday and the Saturday were a lot more comfortable than what was a much tighter game that we'll talk about soon. But if you look at that home series yourself, what's your take? Two comfortable victories?
Yeah, I guess at times over the weekend, maybe more so on the Friday night, we kind of, not that we let them back into the game, but we definitely, there's an element of taking the foot off the gas ever so slightly. And that momentum in hockey is so hard to get. It's so easy to lose and it's so hard to get back again. I don't think it ever challenged us in terms of losing the game, but we did lose a little bit of momentum. And I think it ended up, was it the Pick Goody Conway line came out towards maybe 5-6 minutes to go and come up with a goal and just to really, this game's now over. it's easy to be guilty of that because Adam is trying to really limit players' ice time in terms of we've got three games and three nights. We're 40 minutes into this, guys. We're in a really nice position. You don't want to go foot to the throat at that stage. You know, you want to contain your energy as much as you can. And, you know, I think Simon's already said about that, you know, bench management there over the weekend was absolutely superb. And, you know, the ice time really spread around to keep boys as fresh as we could, because we had to dig deep when we went into Sunday afternoon, which I will try and bring up now.
One thing before you go into Sunday, Davey. I have to say something about their goal on Saturday. It was an absolute laser. Slap shot from a top of the blue line by Watson. Jamal Watson. New player in the league this year. Really impressive. Good skater. Strong on the puck. That shot was outstanding. So great to see that. Obviously getting, you know, not great to see him getting a goal, but you just love seeing, you know, good goals being scored. And I don't think Jackson had a sniff on that one at all.
And then on the Sunday afternoon, hopefully by magic, it appears. Belfast Giants going into an early lead through Jordan Boucher, pegged back by Microcock. And then Joel behave. The Guildford Flames breaking into a 2-1 lead in the Belfast Giants. Probably for me, the most crucial goal of the weekend. The goal just before the period break from Captain David Goodwin, and he comes out again and scores. And, you know, pegged back to 3-each and coming up with that power play goal right before the end says to round off a 6-point weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that second goal you're talking about on from Goody, it was all made by Bomber. Bomber got it into the zone, just slowed everything down and laid it on a plate for Goody to walk in. There was nobody, you know, it was an odd man advantage there. You know, it was a 2-on-1. The defenseman just decided to stay with it instead of making the shot, started taking the pass. He just decided to let the goalkeeper concentrate on that. And Linscoog in the second period pulled off an absolute wonder save. I thought it was absolutely outstanding.
The pad save, it was a leg save, yeah.
It was a glove. He made it in the second period. It was just fantastic. But again, you know, it's all about the game manager, Dave. And it started on Friday night. You know, everybody got involved. Everybody played. Yeah. As this game went on, it was obviously a lot tighter. Guildford going back home after, you know, losing the first two games. They wanted to put a performance on in front of their own fans. And I thought they played a lot better in their own rank than what they did on our big ice surface, and it showed. You know, you've got the likes of Goody picking up two important goals, and he started to score really important goals at really important moments. And that second and third goal for the Giants on Sunday afternoon or Sunday early evening were absolutely crucial. But, you know, more importantly, the game winner, power play goal. You know, I'm not too sure how many power plays we had on Sunday night. I think it was three. But, you know, that was probably one of the most important goals to score this season. And again, you're scoring at important times. And even coming down, you know, for the last 2 minutes, they pulled their goalie and about 90 seconds to go, they got him off. And there was a couple of opportunities. But again, you know, another solid performance of the weekend, 6 points. That took us top of the league. You know, I'm sure Joel will go into saying about the Dundee and Sheffield games over the weekend. And it's one of them ones, Davey, but that we deserve to be where we are. That's, you know, it's the hard work all season. You know, a couple of hiccups at the start of the year, a couple of games that you maybe want to want it back, and it might still come to that. But I thought we were really, really good this weekend, and it culminated in coming out with 6 points.
Joel, massive power play goal at the end. I've really, really enjoyed watching Griffin Reinhart, quarterback in the power play all season. He gets point to point and covers that blue line. But Cam Knight over the last few weekends on the second power play line has been quarterback. The passes right and left at the top of the umbrella there for the ultimately the winning goal. Really love to see it, as you would say.
You do love to see that. I've obviously been continuing to harp on incessantly about our special teams over the past few weeks. But again, I believe anyway that this was another game where that that paid off. You know, it's not only that, obviously Tyler Soy, a player, Davey, that you backed from right at the start of the season, backed that horse and he's come good. A real clutch moment. That's another turning point of a moment. I'm getting used to these Sundays just being unbelievably anxious, by the way. I feel like every Sunday is a blockbuster where I'm dancing around my kitchen swearing to myself, and that one was no different. Thank goodness we didn't have the overtime and penalties to deal with. But look, Simon said it, you know, much tighter game there. You know, you're 3rd and 3, a perfect start with Jordan Boucher. That wrister from the right circle was a lovely goal to start us off. I did think that Guildford continued in the ascendancy after that. They equalized courtesy of a man you mentioned earlier, Michael Crowcook. It was a character comeback from 2-1. Yes, Michael Crowcook. And it was a character comeback then from kind of 2-1 down in the second period. David Goodwin. But David Goodwin, obviously we had that power play at 2-1 down, which very quickly became a 4-on-4 with a really weird illegal equipment penalty that I hadn't seen, certainly in my time following the Giants. But Goody turned that 4-on-4 into an opportunity to manage to claw one back there. David Goodwin scoring big moments at the right time, being a captain, hauling the game onto his back. Obviously, Ian Waters tied it again seconds later because we don't do easy Sundays here in Belfast. But look, even at the end of the game, that defending at 6-on-5, to be able to send that puck north a couple of times, ice the game, ice any momentum, was just absolutely clutch. I thought this was a real character win. I don't even want to dare say what I'm thinking, but that's the character win of a team who does well. Does well.
Excellent.
what were you reading there, mate? You know, off somewhere different? No, sorry, we bored you there.
No, I've got a big smiley face down at the bottom of the screen here that you guys can't see. And,
has the VIP arrived?
The VIP is in the building. So
I'm excited about this one.
I'm really, really excited about this one. We've covered the game. 6-point weekend. You know, really well managed from the boys there. When you think about two games for us at home and then traveling on the Sunday and having to come up with a big win, especially when results are going different ways in other arenas for you. So, let's move on to the fan agenda, sponsored by Belfast Giants TV. And I had someone who been a fan of since, 2003 or something when this guy came along.
Since you're a wee boy.
Since I was a wee boy, yes.
Yes, there
he is. Oh,
turn your phone around. Turn the iPod around. That's it.
It's not an iPod. I had the phone because I'm not technically gifted.
You're in good company, mate.
We've heard that about your whole career. But Wally, yeah, it's lovely to have you on, a view from the bridge. I don't know if you've been on before, or it's certainly been a very long time. It's absolutely great to have you back.
First time for everything, Davey, yeah.
There you go, mate. And you joined Sizz for the first time as well on Saturday night behind the mic. You enjoy that?
I did indeed, yeah. I was awful, like, but it was good fun with Sizz. Sizz is very good, I have to say, but I was awful.
I thought you did really well, mate. I mean, there's a lot of people that think it's easy. It's really not easy. You know, you're especially the first time you've got on and you're looking around and you're trying to, you know, basically, there's a lot of guys there that you don't know. And you know, obviously you haven't watched that much hockey and don't know that many guys in the locker room anymore. So it just takes a bit of while to get used to. And so you're back on this weekend, so you'll be all right. Like, oh, did I not tell you yet? Sorry.
That's how he gets you.
Absolutely grand here, Wally. We did a series of interviews with players during COVID. We called it one-on-one, and I don't know why we just didn't call you up and do this with you. So we'll do like a very, very short version of it. Belfast Giants obviously came along in the early 2000s, and you were playing your hockey at the Ice Bowl and further afield. How did the opportunity come about to eventually lace them up for the Giants?
I was playing in Dumfries actually at the time. I played in Dumfries for a couple of years, and it was the time whenever the Giants more or less were going under. And Rob Stewart got in contact with me and asked me would I be interested in signing for the Giants the following year. So it was obviously let's do this type of thing. But it all happened very quickly, to be honest, and that's really how it started.
Can you remember opening night for you at the Odyssey?
Very nerve-wracking, as you can well imagine, like, but first night was amazing. I think it was sick, actually, before the game. I was that nervous. But, yeah, it was... Not going to lie, I think it did book a couple of times.
I see. I was wondering whether he meant, oh, felt queasy, or he actually were just in the dress room booking your guts. That's
brilliant. And obviously, it came along.
I was actually booking my guts in a cubicle.
And it came along at a time where there was, as you say, a little bit of instability. ISL had collapsed. The EIHL had just started. Robert came in as head coach for the Giants, and he brought in Chris, and he brought in Mark and Gareth and yourself. And it actually probably galvanized the support in terms of having those local guys all of a sudden in the roster. It could have went two ways for the Giants. That probably helped keep the crowds involved.
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone was able to relate to people then, as in local players, British players. And, you know, I think that was a problem before. You know, there was a lot of Canadians and everything, but no one really knew about local British, you know, local guys or British talent out there, you know. And I think with the guys coming in, not just myself, but the likes of Mark and Gareth and, you know, Paul Sample and Lee Jemison, guys like that, I think, you know, being from Belfast, people are relate to you then. You know what people are like. They're very proud of where they come from, and they're very proud of the people that do well. You know what I mean? So I think that helped the Giants in a way.
Well, you look back at the first game. I want to just add on to you a little bit. Who was your first defensive partner?
Can't remember, actually. I think it might have been Shane.
Do you remember who was in the first shift with you? You've been out of this game too long. No. You're an absolute airhead. Like,
do you know?
Who one says, who was it?
No, I have no idea. What are you asking me? I was watching. I have a beer, man. I do know it wasn't me.
The first game was just a blur.
Going on, taking on the first season itself, you're getting, you know, you're playing in front of your mum and dad every weekend, and you know, you're playing with your mates. You know, Davey just touched on it there, Mo and Chris McGemsey, Marty. You're playing with your mates. You're just, you know, you guys more or less come through at the same time from the junior development, you know, the whole way through as you know, from a very young age. I mean, I've still got a photograph of you somewhere, you know, standing with me when you were about 7 or 8 years of age. I'm on the ice at the Ice Bowl. But, you know, all these kids,
I know,
these guys,
even over the top, be pretty closely.
I know, dead on. Might have to edit that out, you gimp.
Sizzle, fix it.
But again, you look back at all those, you know, all the lads that you played with and playing in front of your family and friends every weekend. It must have been absolutely brilliant.
Oh, it was amazing. You know, it's actually one of the highlights, you know. It's what everyone dreams of. You know, you grew up playing a sport, but you never actually think that you'll ever play for your hometown team in front of your family and friends. And to be able to play with your mates as well, it's like, you know, it's just the pinnacle. You know, it's what everyone wants to be able to do. And I'm lucky enough to be able to say that I've done that.
Yeah, well, it's I mean it when I say it. Like, I'm excited to have you on tonight. Like, whenever everybody growing up when they were kids, well, around kind of my age, you would have went to watch the Giants maybe once or twice a year in the early 2000s, whatever else. But I properly bit the bug in about 2010 or so. And it was that resonating with the local guys. It was guys like you and Gareth Roberts and whoever else we had at the time. Jordan Scott Brown, I think, played for a while that season as well. But it was seeing those local guys on the ice that really made me want to come back and see the boys. And you have, to be honest, you've been kind of, I'm fanboying, Davey, I'm sorry. I'm pretty much my favorite player since I've been around the club. Still celebrate Wally's Day on the 12th of February every year. And if you weren't there, you missed out. But obviously, you've had that decorated career in Belfast. You were the local boy that did it. You know, how many games, Davey?
584.
Oh, nice, in stereo. Obviously, your number hangs from the rafters. You had the testimonial. You pretty much did it all. You lifted the league championship for your hometown team. How do you look back on it all? You know, you're someone who takes everything very in stride. Does it feel kind of surreal now, a couple of years down the line, to look back and see what you did?
Yeah, Yeah, and I actually spoke to Cez about it the other night whenever I was on the show with him. You know, you're kind of living in the moment whenever you're playing. You know, you don't really understand really what you're doing until I look back now, and I look back and go, oh my goodness, did I really win a league championship? Did I win a playoff championship? Did I win every trophy in British hockey? You know, yes, I did. I represented Great Britain. You know, these are the things that, you know, you kind of take for granted at the time, but looking back now, it's like, oh my goodness, I actually achieved them things, you know. I'm one of the very fortunate ones that have been able to do it. And, you know, I would love there to be more local talent that would come along and possibly beat my record and, you know, represent Great Britain. And, you know, records are there to be broken. And, you know, if there's another local kid that can come along and beat me, then that's what I would love to see happen, you know.
And there's so much sort of, I think, hope for the current crop that are coming up through. Obviously, the Hamill boys, you've got Kel Beattie, you've got Mike Stewart. You know, I'm not sure how much you've been around, obviously. Life moves on. I know you're a busy man at the best of times. But does it excite you to see those young guys, you know, especially Mike Stewart, who you're bound to have known pretty much since he was in nappies, since he was a toddler running around the arena. It must excite you to see that next generation now begin to come through.
Yeah, 100%. You know, as you touched on there, there's some very talented kids there. Max Stewart, the two Hamill brothers, Kel Beattie, you know, it's exciting. It's great for me to be able to sit back now and go, you know, encouraging them. I was very fortunate I had the likes of Cez, you know, that I kind of looked up to whenever I was a junior. True story, yeah. And, you know, I was very fortunate I had talented guys that I kind of looked up to, and I wanted to be as good as them, you know. And hopefully, you know, like the likes of Mac and stuff, maybe don't look at me so much, but maybe the other guys. But, you know, there's the likes of Mo, and there's, you know, there's other people, Marty, and, you know, and hopefully we've inspired the other people, you know, the other kids, the local kids, to be able to want to go on and achieve what we've done.
I look back, you've said it there yourself, Wally. Won every trophy there was to win in British hockey. Started off with the Crossover Cup, if you remember that great night in the Odyssey. Won the Challenge Cup in your own backyard in the Ice Bowl, which is still a real massive highlight for me in terms of my jam watching days. British Knockout Cup, playoffs, leagues, Charity Shields, played for Great Britain. And a local boy from Dundonald just come good. It must have been, as you say, when you look back on the career now, it must almost be like reading a book about somebody else.
Yeah, no, and you're right there, Davey. You know, it is. It's, you know, I look back now and I go, I have to pinch myself. Was that really me? Did I really do all that? You know, and it is a bit surreal, you know. My dream was always to play professional ice hockey. That was my dream. It wasn't about, you know, winning all those trophies. It was about representing, like, as a kid, whenever the Odyssey was being built, I was like, oh my goodness, how amazing would it be to play for the Giants? And now, looking back, I played 500. Yeah, once, like, even to sit on the bench, but to play 584 games, you know, did I ever expect that to happen? No way. You know, that was, you know, to be able to do that and look back on it now, it's, you know, I've done everything that I've ever wanted to do, you know, so I have no regrets at all.
Can you remember that first one? Can you remember the Crossover Cup win?
He won the league before that, did he? Didn't he? I think he won the league 5-6.
When was the Crossover Cup, Simon?
I can't remember. I was blocked.
Well, look at McGimsey's face. He's about to serve you here.
Before that, the Crossover Cup was the first win. It was in.
Sorry, David. Carry on there, Molly.
I think it was in Tony's season, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
Too many hits they have, man.
Was he to beat Manchester at the Ice Bowl?
No, not the Challenge Cup or the Knockout. The Crossover Cup where we played. We played Guildford, we played Fife. Roman Cavalier scored the goal and did like the row the boat down centre ice and all. And they brought
the rowboat down the middle of the ice. Oh yeah, I remember that. What a guy he was, by the way. What a guy. Roman Cavalier, Martin Klempa, smoking a pancake. All he wanted was a smoke and a pancake.
Go on, sis.
Well, just when you're talking about moments like that, you know, you're talking about Clamp and you're talking about Cavalier. You know, looking back at the I asked this question of you the other night, you didn't hesitate to answer the question because Davey and I are in full agreement with you. Joel wouldn't remember this guy playing, but who was the best guy I ever played with as a giant?
Oh, hands down, Jason Ruff. Not even a contest.
What did he do differently? What was he like in the locker room? What did he do? We all know he had this aura about him. He was just unbelievable.
He just in practice every day, he was just amazing. His hands, like, he would torture you, laugh at you, and then he'd come back and torture you again, type of thing, you know. He was the biggest kid in the locker room. But by God, could he play hockey? Unbelievable. He was tough. He had the best hands. He could skate. He was the best all-rounder. Played both ends of the rink. Never complained. Absolute snap show in the changing room. But what a guy. What a guy.
And you're Emily talking about
Jemison were like twins.
Yeah. You're talking about he didn't complain. In all fairness, you did enough complaining for everybody. Like,
oh, 100%. I don't even deny that. Looking back now, I think to myself, oh my. But, you know, that was me, says, you know, I think it's, you know, I complained, but it was more, it was the competitiveness in me. You know, I wanted to win. You know, that's the one thing I wanted, no matter what game it was or what I wanted to win, you know, and I think that's where I get a wee bit highly strung every day.
That's why we love him. I want to throw a curveball here. Something that if you've been around the club for a few years, you'll probably know about. But Wally, you were instrumental in bringing Red Bull Crashed Ice to Stormont, which was probably, what, 5 or more years ago now. But you also competed in it before that. After that announcement happened about the Stormont one, I went digging on YouTube and I found you in it. Can you tell me how on earth that came about and what in the world possessed you?
Okay, so true story on this one. So Rob Stewart was asked by people to compete at it. Rob was playing for the Giants at the time, and he says, oh, I can't do that, but I know a guy that will do it. The guy from Red Bull, Kevin Carson, contacted me and said, Graham, would you fancy doing Red Bull Christ Ice? I was like, yeah, no problem. Never seen it before, didn't know what I was doing. He was like, yeah, it's 5 days away in Austria. Yeah, no problem. Klagenfurt, yeah. You just skate in a hill and skates. Whenever I got there, it wasn't a hill. It was a ski slope. I was like, there's no way I'm doing this. But, yeah, I managed to do it.
I was there that night at the one at Stormont, and yeah, it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. I have no idea. I can barely glide forward on a flat surface on a pair of skates. Have no notion how those boys do it. What an absolutely ridiculous sport! But yeah, like, it's for anybody who hasn't seen that, I think still that there's a video of you somewhere in the depths of YouTube competing in that. But it's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Sorry, I had to throw that curveball, Davey.
I think Mo did it at the Ice Bowl. It didn't just. Maybe just work out that great for him.
No, I think Mo actually broke his ankle.
He did.
I think you're living in Dundonald. Have you ever heard of Wi-Fi?
Oh,
he's frozen.
I don't care. He's a legend.
Am I cutting up badly?
Oh, massively. That's what I'm saying. Have you ever heard of Wi-Fi? I don't know. You're in the house to me.
Put a jumper on.
Graham Walton is coming to us live from 2006. It's all right. Don't worry about it. He's a legend. He can do what he wants.
I'll see you over my mum and dad's, to be honest. So it's my cheap dad with his cheap Wi-Fi.
Oh, dear.
Right, David.
Joel, take a couple from Twitter there.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit me with one there. Wally, you obviously got a chance to get into the arena and see this year's team at the weekend there. Johnny Baxter asks, one player, if you can remember, have a think back to who you saw, one player you'd want on your line from this year's team.
Conway.
Scott Conway, that's a fairly common one. Teal Tripper, who always comes in with great questions.
To be honest,
go ahead.
Sorry. I was also very impressed with Jeff Bond. I think I said it right.
Yep, Bomber. I'm a big Jeff Bond fan. I think he does the simple things and the sort of the unsung things very, very well. Teal Trooper asks, out of the 480 games you played, was there any players or teams you really enjoyed going up against or left a lasting impression on you? Who were the guys that you saw coming out onto the ice for a game and you just knew it was going to be tasty?
Newcastle was always interesting. So it was. I always enjoyed playing Coventry in Coventry. I think it was just because of the fans that were behind the bench. You didn't know what you were going to get every night. Whitley Bay was also an interesting place to play. Whenever we played Newcastle, there says we probably had a couple of interesting matches in there.
Absolutely.
Always the big games, you know, the Sheffies, the Nottinghams, you know. All those games, it's Cardiff back in the day.
Back in the
Wally, we're going to wrap this up because the internet connection's absolutely terrible. We're going to have you back on when you upgrade yourself to 3G. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and you know, we appreciate it. In closing, I guess, now I remember the picture of you handing over the 585 shirt to Shays whenever he passed it. Gary's just passed it and gone on. You said records are there to be broken, but you must be very proud of everything you did in the Belfast Giants and GB jersey.
Oh, 100%, Davey. You know, as I said before, I've got no regrets. I had the best 10 years that I could ever wish for. And Gary's obviously passed it now. I wish him every success going forward and hopefully can add another couple of 100 games onto it, you know. But as I said, records are there to be broken. So best of luck to all the guys that, you know, pass me and the rest of the guys.
Wally, thank you so much. Listen, mate, we'll see you down at the rink as soon as possible.
Thanks, guys. Take care of yourselves. And
cheers, Wally. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Wally. Legend.
Bye.
Absolutely.
I'll get a new internet connection.
I don't even care. I don't even care. I'll wait half a minute for a Graham Walton response. I don't care.
I know. I thought it was texting says they're going, is he in the outback or somewhere else? a bit of a delay there. So we apologize for that. We're going to have Wally back on again. These guys have played for us through the early 2000s into the 2010s, 12s, were the guys we grew up as Belfast Giants fans with. Obviously, we were hockey fans before the Giants came along. And then these guys came along, and especially the Belfast ones, your most downtown Robbie Bryan, all these guys that came along, you know, and we got to live vicariously through them. They were our Belfast boys playing for our Belfast team. And, you know, there's an element of jealousy there because we wanted to be them. But listen, thank Wally. Joel. No, actually, before we do that, we shall move on, and we have Sis got himself down to training today. And as if by magic.
Warmed up okay?
Yeah, sorry if I'm shivering. I'm still recovering from my cold tub. Now you got me out here on the ice. Watching the Darcy Murphy session.
It's
a lot warmer in the dressing room. It's a lot saying, warmer, but anyway.
Absolutely, no, you're absolutely right. Rainer, 3-3 at the weekend. Boys get the extra day off today. There's an optional skate. Darcy's out skating with a couple of other boys as well, Rowan. But you know, it's a 3-3 is always tough.
Yeah, it's tough. It's just a lot of volume, right? So I think you know, of course, we got the result we wanted on the weekend. We've got today to use it as we need, as we see fit. And so yeah, guys on the ice, guys in the cold tub, guys stretching out, guys in the barb. And yeah, fortunately for myself, I'm feeling good after the weekend. And yeah, so it's for upcoming games, for those big ones.
Yeah, there's some big ones coming up. We want to touch on the Guildford game, first of all. You know, when you take them as a collective, obviously you've got the 6 points, which is, you know, great for the unit and great for the team. But some, you know, good individual performances over the weekend as well. Scoring from all, you know, all lines on the defence side of things as well. It was just a solid performance all weekend.
Solid performance. You know, one bite at a time, one step at a time. Basically the mentality coming in. You know, fortunately for us, we were at home to start that trip and then went to Guildford. And so, you know, tough building for them to come into. And, you know, we've been playing really well both on the road and at home. And, you know, we just do what we do. Right? And so we, one game at a time, one shift at a time, and we're ready and, you know, we keep rolling.
Sheffield this weekend, first versus second. A week ago, it was the other way around, second versus first. But when you look at it, we know what we're up against this weekend. We have scored a settle from the only game that we played in this season when we basically didn't turn up. You know, they sort of came out and dominated us especially over the first period in Sheffield there and back in October.
Yeah, October was a long time ago. There's a lot that's happened since then. We've learned from a lot of mistakes since then. But yeah, you got two teams coming together who, you know, I think if you look at both of our win percentages, upwards of 80% win percentages for both clubs. And so it's going to be interesting. You know, we're excited for it. We're feeling prepared for it. We still have this week to prepare for it. And yeah, it's a good challenge for us. And ultimately, given how the race is, it's going to come down to the games against that team.
Everybody wants to be top of the table. We've managed to get there for the first time this season at the weekend, but it's one of those ones where it's—I don't think the boys are paying any attention to it at the minute because there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, it's as long as we go. I don't know exactly how many games we have left to go, but you know, given how tight the thing, you know, the race is, you know, if we have a bad weekend, that could really cost us. And so, every game is so important. Every game this entire season has been so important. And every game will remain to be as important. So, like I said, similar to the Guildford weekend, 3-3, one game at a time, one shift at a time.
Darcy, you've got a couple of games under, well, five or six games under your belt now after, you know, what's been a difficult season for you. Starting to feel back to yourself again? And
yeah, it's been, you know, kind of taking it day by day, but starting to feel better with each game and getting back into it. So hopefully a couple more good skates throughout this week and next week and be back into pretty good form, I think.
3-3 at the weekend, where it's always tough. You're picking up more minutes every single week, and the weekend, I'd say 3-3 is always tough, especially coming back from an injury.
Yeah, it was obviously a really tough weekend for us, but I think it just shows how good our team is. You know, you can beat the same team three times in one weekend, you're doing something right, and I think we got a really good group, a lot of depth, and we're really hard to play against.
Pushing yourself out for a skate this morning with Deco, and Adam certainly put you through your paces.
Yeah, just kind of getting more touches, obviously. Some guys, we had a day off today, but it was nice just to get a little skate in and feel better for it tomorrow.
Not today.
No.
And obviously, Dicko was out with you as well. He's going to feel it tonight for sure.
Yeah, Dicko was got a good workout in today, so he'll have to rest up for tomorrow.
We're going to go down a stretch here. We're basically starting to go down a stretch now. Sheffield Steelers up this weekend, first versus second. It was the other way around last week when the Steelers were sitting top for such a long time. They have been playing very, very well. And maybe had a bit of a stumbling block with injuries and what have you over the last couple of weeks. But we need to take one game at a time. And I'm sure it's going to be very difficult this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this weekend's, like both of those saying, it's a pretty big weekend. But obviously this stage in the game, every game of throughout the rest of the way is going to be just as important as the next one. So it's just kind of taking one game at a time and doing the best we can to get wins.
Thanks, Darcy.
Cheers.
Adam Keith, Tuesday morning. after a 6-point weekend. I'm sure you're, obviously it's an optional skate today, but I'm sure you're very happy with the performances and the results and obviously the points of the weekend.
Yeah, it was huge for us. Obviously, we got some help out of town in terms of the standings, but we really focused on our job, and the guys did their job this weekend, so it was nice to see.
We spoke to you after the game on Saturday night, so we got the review on Friday and Saturday, obviously. Sunday's game away in Guildford, they came out flying. Obviously, they want to, you know, make up for losing the 4 points in the previous two games, but obviously, again, coming out with a 4-3 win, it's vital.
Yeah, I thought the guys stuck with it. You know, I think we didn't feel our best early on, but I thought by the third period, guys had found their legs, and it was a full team effort from then. And then obviously some very big timely goal scoring, and huge special teams, so it was good.
You've got an optional skate this morning, doing a couple of extra things with Darcy. I know obviously he's been, you know, he's missed a lot of time this year, but good to see him out there, and you're working him hard.
Yeah, I think obviously on Sunday I didn't get them out there as much as I would have liked to, so it's important to get some touches here today and get some confidence for the weekend. Obviously a big weekend, and we need everybody.
Talk us through your Michigan move right behind the net.
Yeah, I was just trying to give Andy some confidence. There was too much snow on the blade here to be doing that, but any other time it was connecting.
And just finally, Sheffield this weekend. Potentially two of the biggest games of the season, and I know you don't look ahead past the first one, but the Steelers beating us comfortably back in late October. I'm sure the boys have still got that in their mind.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen them in a long time, and they're a much different team now, so obviously we've got to review the tape, but like I said, our focus has been on us, and I think if we get the best of the Belfast Giants and everybody's pulling the rope, I'm confident we'll have some success this weekend.
Want to try and fill the barn this weekend. It's going to be two big games, and obviously looking forward to a cup final next week. But, you know, starting this weekend, we need the fans to come out and support us.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, those six men are there for us, and they provide that extra energy. I think anytime you see this building full, the atmosphere is electric, and that brings out the best in our players, and I know that firsthand. So obviously it's going to be a big weekend. A big week of hockey. Get down and support. We'll see you there.
Thanks, Adam.
Boys, just before you go on the news, a couple of weeks ago, I was obviously off on holiday in Tenerife.
You didn't say.
But what do you see?
Yes! Let's go!
Bonsoir, monsieur.
Your phone rang.
Thanks. Thanks, Ace.
How you doing, Paddy? Do you want to give any? Do you want to just tell us how the ski is?
It's. I can't actually hear you guys. I don't know what's going on with the system, but it's very cold here in Val d'Isère, and it's. I'm delighted to be part of the show. So thanks for inviting me on.
No problem. And that was a little snippet from Patrick Smith. Who can't hear us, so we can't ask him any questions, unfortunately. But if you can hear me, Paddy, text me, mate. I don't know what to do after this. Joel, hit us with the news.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Par, mate. That's what par feels like.
He's drunk on par. Paddy's just drunk on pints. Last Wednesday in the Premier Sports Elite League, the Coventry Blaze shut out the Nottingham Panthers at the Sky Dome by 5-0, and the Fife Flyers stunned the league by taking a 5-3 victory over the Sheffield Steelers. Your Giants obviously doused the Flames 6-2 in the only game on Friday, and then repeated it on Sunday with a 5-1 win. Elsewhere on Saturday, the Dundee Stars took another point from the Steelers in front of over 7,000 Steelers fans in Sheffield. Not only that, they did it with backup goaltender Brython Priest between the pipes, making his first start of the season with 31 saves and 3 of 4 pen shots saved. What a night for him and no doubt his family. Manchester defeated Nottingham 7-4 at the Drizzle Dome, coming from behind no less than 3 times before taking a third period lead. The Glasgow clan came away from Kirkcaldy with rivalry bragging rights, beating the Flyers 5-2, and the Blaze blanked the Devils 3-0 at Sky Dome. On Sunday, your Belfast Giants clinched the 6-point weekend with that 4-3 win in Guildford, but meanwhile, the Panthers took a measure of revenge on Manchester, defeating them 5-2 at the NIC. Cardiff picked up their only points of the weekend with a 3-1 win over Glasgow. The Flyers needed overtime to take 2 points from the Coventry Blaze in Scotland, and the Dundee the Dundee Stars, excuse me, and Brighton Priest did it again, recording a four-point weekend against the Steelers at the DIA with a 2-1 win in overtime. Calvis Ozols, I think, with the winning power play goal in the 63rd minute with Evan Mosey in the box for Holden. Standings, David, do you have a wee graphic for me this week?
Oh, for goodness sake, I probably.
Go on, son. What an absolutely unbelievable weekend from the Dundee Stars and from Moore Pasha playing with their backup goaltender with Adam Morrison out this weekend. Just absolutely incredible, which is, as we will see, changed a wee bit at on the table. Your Belfast Giants now sit top of the table with 66 points from 41 games played. The Sheffield Steelers slip into second place with 64 from 40, ahead of, obviously, as was mentioned there, a potentially season-defining 1v2 doubleheader in Belfast this weekend. Get your tickets now. You do not want to miss this weekend at the SSC Arena. The Cardiff Devils have officially joined the Giants and Steelers in the playoffs, so congrats for that. But they have drifted off the pace in third with 59 points from 43 games played. And again, we go back to the games played. That's two more than Belfast and three more than Sheffield, which gets more and more significant as the season runs in. Nottingham remain fourth with 42 points from 41 games, and the Glasgow Clan have narrowed the gap between fourth and fifth to 6 points with 36 from 37 games played. However, this table is unbelievable in the bottom half. Hot on their tails are the Coventry Blaze with 35 from 36, the Dundee Stars with 35 from 37, and the Guildford Flames, who you saw all weekend with 34 from 40 games played. So just 2 points now separate fifth and eighth. There is a gap opening beneath that coveted eighth spot for playoff contention, as the Manchester Storm sit ninth with 29 points from 40 games. And the Flyers, to be fair to them now, have made some ground in the basement with 25 from 39 games played. What a season, boys. I'll look really briefly just at a couple of bits of news. The Continental Cup Finals happened during the past week. EIHL referee Liam Sewell was selected to referee the finals this past weekend, which took place in Aalborg, Denmark. This year's final featured only three teams instead of the usual four, as Belarusian side HK Gomel did not participate due to the current IIHF suspension of teams from Russia and Belarus. And you might remember the Euro Belfast Giants defeating Gomel 5-0 at the Continental Cup in Belfast back in 2019. Polish side Krakowia Krakow overcame the hosts, the Aalborg Pirates, and Kazakhstan's Saryarka Karaganda. Spent all afternoon practicing that to take the 2022 title. Only other thing this weekend, bit of dops, Coventry Blaze head coach Danny Stewart was fined and suspended for one game following incidents in Coventry's game against the Steelers on the 27th of February. The EIHL's own disciplinary committee, which deals with issues that, quote, fall outside of the scope of the Department of Player Safety, took time to assess the reports from the game and came to its final decision Wednesday morning. They did say that at that point they didn't feel it was appropriate to suspend a head coach on the morning his team had a game without prior warning. They played that Wednesday evening, and Stewart served his suspension on the 5th of March against Cardiff, which the Coventry Blaze won 3-2 zip. And that is your news, not Patrick Smith, David McGimsey.
Let's just keep pressing on, boys. 55 minutes, we could be on for a record here.
Nice.
This weekend, it really doesn't get any bigger than this. There's revenge in the air as well. We owe them, says, from the first game that we played in Sheffield. Can't get too carried away with trying to settle scores, but, you know, just first shift, we've got to be right on it here this weekend.
Yeah, I don't really like the word revenge, but, you know, we've got a point to prove. You know, that last game against them when we played in Sheffield, we weren't good enough. That's simple. I think there's a lot of guys that were very disappointed the way the game ended up, the score ended up, the performance. And, you know, I've listened to Kiefer and I listened to Rainer there in the interviews as well. And they, you know, pointed out that as well. There's been a lot of hockey played since then. There's been a lot of changes in Sheffield. We don't know what lineup they're going to put out, but that's not get away from this, Davey. They're still going to be a good team. They've been solid all season. They've come up with points. They play right to the very end. It's one of them ones that you could probably count on one hand how many games that they've given up in this year, or they've been dominated. There's not very many. So it's going to be a very, very tough weekend. The Friday night game is going to be crucial. You know, we played 3-3 last weekend. I know that our boys are going to be well up for this. I know that they're going to come out and we're going to come out flying. And it's one of them ones where we're hoping that we're going to get the right result on Friday night. But even look at the Dundee games against Sheffield last weekend. Sheffield still picked up 2 points because they went the overtime and they went to the shootout. So, you know, it's crucial that, you know, when you're playing the likes of Sheffield. And listen, Joel mentioned there about Cardiff, you know, they're slipping away. They're not out of this yet either. There's still a lot of hockey to be played. There's still a lot of people, a lot of teams that you can slip up against. Every single team in this league now can beat any other team on any given night. So let's not get carried away. Yes, it's great being top of the table. Yes, it's where you want to be. Of course it is. That's where you want to be on the, what date is it? 16th of April. We're at midnight on the 16th of April. If we're top of the table, you'll find me lying on a corner somewhere. That's basically when I'll take it on board. So that's the most important part of it. But there's a long, long way to go in this season. And it starts on Friday night.
Joel, obviously, we talk about the top three teams in the league in the standings, Belfast Giants, Sheffield Steelers, and Cardiff Devils. I don't think anybody could argue that they've all had exceptional seasons. We've all had bumps in the track as well. Sheffield have just been getting it done. And even Simon says, even though they came up with two overtime losses or one penalty shot loss at the weekend, they still got it done and that they managed to take half the points that were available at the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. You're looking at a team that actually has one less regulation loss than us this season. To lose in regulation six games over the course of 40 is a serious, serious team. They're a team that, would be in touch and would follow a few Steelers fans. And I know that they're particularly kind of injury hit at the minute. And it's definitely not one to take lightly. And it's no disrespect to the Dundee Stars as well. You know, we're saying those are surprise results. We do not take Sheffield lightly at all. It's 1v2. It's for my money anyway. And you're right, I agree. Says, you know, Cardiff are not out of it until it's over. And we've got a massive final against them down the road, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point in the future. But at the minute, it's the two best teams in the UK this year. And my goodness, they are phenomenal teams. Both of these sides, the Giants and the Steelers, are doing what they need to do to clinch a title. There's barely anything separating the two. So I think that the fans, I think that the Belfast Giants fans need to play their part this weekend. You have heard so many times over the past few years on those nights when it really counts, whenever that building is thundering. And I've asked players, I've kind of taken an interest in it this year, especially the guys who have played behind closed doors last year and whatever else, how much of a difference it makes whenever the barn is full of your fans. They're passionate and they're loud and they're roaring you on. And don't count it out. It's not just something you say for PR to sell tickets. It changes the game if you have a massive crowd that are hot and they're behind you. So the Giants fans, the Teal Army, are going to have to come into that building and back their boys from the very start. The weekend that I keep getting in my head when I think about this weekend is obviously that doubleheader against Sheffield in 2011-2012. Slightly further on in the season, that actually clinched the title for the Giants. But that's the atmosphere, that's the meaning, and that's the sort of importance that we all need to come into this weekend with and make sure and get loud and get behind the boys. But listen, I'm not even going to try and make a prediction. If the Giants show up, it's going to be a serious, serious weekend. I've been terrified ever since the final buzzer on Sunday, to be honest.
We'll be turning up.
Yep. There you go. That's all I need to hear. Simon,
last word on Friday. I'm not even interested, really, particularly as you'll not be on in Saturday night until Friday's over. You heard Kiefer, Rayner, Darcy, Joel, everybody's had a go at it. Rally pants on Friday night. Get the barn filled, boys.
100%. The boys will be ready going on Friday night. You know, they got an extra day off today. 3-3 at the weekend. Well rested. A couple of boys come in, went for a skate this morning. Darcy, Bush, and Deco. There's a few boys working out in the gym, hot tub, what have you. I think a couple of guys went golfing. You know, it's good to get away from the rink. So back to work tomorrow morning, and they'll be ready to go on Friday night.
Boys, I think we might have completed AVFTB 08-03-22, apart from any other business.
You know what? Yeah, there's been a few people have tested positive over the last couple of weeks and haven't really done anything about it because it's not gone away, you know. But you know, for anybody that's feeling sick, and I know one or two people that have tested positive in the last few days, I hope you're okay. You know, the one thing I can't reiterate enough, and I know it's happening, is that see if you test positive, please, please, please don't come to the rink, don't come to the arena. There's people that are still coming to the arena when they test positive. We want you in the arena, we want you at every single game, but not when you're testing positive. You've got to keep yourself safe. You've got to keep everybody else safe. But it's imperative that if you test positive, please, please, please watch the webcast. Don't come to the rink and keep everybody else in mind.
Yep. The only other thing is a big happy birthday to Steve Thornton. I didn't catch his age, but he probably wouldn't want that announced anyway. Big happy birthday to Steve. A big part of the engine room of the Belfast Giants, and obviously a Giants legend in his own right. Really, really great guy. And a lot of good things to say about Steve. So I hope he's had a really, really good day. And that's all for me. Other Paddy.
There we go, boys. We've made it three. This Friday and Saturday night, if you can't get down to the SSE Arena, have a really, really good reason. But if you can't, you can tune in to Simon on Giants TV. Who are you with, Simon?
I'm with Big Neil Russell on Friday night.
Oh, formerly of this parish.
Got Neil Russell on Friday night. And at the minute, I've got Graham Walton on Saturday, but there might be a wee issue there. So
You're going to have to wait 45 seconds before he answers.
Well, I might have to. I'm sure Neil Russell will jump in on Saturday if it's a real problem. He loves it.
I'm sure he will. But listen, boys, first of all, thank you very much to Adam Keefe, to Kevin Rain, to Darcy Murphy, to the absolute legend that is Simon Kitchen, to Joel Neil, and of course to Graham Walton. Boys, thanks very much. We've done it.
Well done, Davey, mate. Well done.
You were panicking.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you next time. All of you from the bridge.